Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to Q4 FY22 results conference call of Secure Cloud Technologies Limited, hosted by Kirin Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vastupal Shah from Kirin Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I would like to welcome Mr. Suresh Venkatachari, Cloud Technologies Limited, Mr. Ravichandran S., Whole-time Director of the company, and Mr. Thyagarajan R., Chief Financial Officer of the company. Mr. Suresh, over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Shah. Good morning, everyone. Thank you all for joining us for the Q4 FY22 earnings call. I am happy to announce that Healthcare Triangle Inc., subsidiary of Secure Cloud Technologies, has obtained HITRUST risk-based certification, is a testimony to the industry best practice adapted by us for information risk management, compliances, and reinforce our commitment on the highest level of security and data protection. This achievement places Healthcare Triangle in an elite group of organizations worldwide that have earned this certification. It's only roughly about 100+ companies or obtained this HITRUST certification. It's a very big milestone in our achievement. We continue to build on our leadership position in the cloud transformation and are a part of many discussions and initiatives with our clients who are looking for the cloud transformation. We accelerated investment in the last few quarters to strengthen our platform offerings, enhancing our capabilities in our platforms to build our large deal capabilities and also to acquire top talents across sales and marketing, general and administrative functions. With all the initiatives, we see opportunities to engage more closely with the clients and capitalize on their cloud and digital transformation journey. Looking ahead to the next phase to further enhance our market share.
Sir, we are not able to hear you clearly. Your voice is sounding very muffled.
Okay, hold on. Let me. Okay. Can everybody hear me now?
Sir, this is better. Thank you.
Looking ahead to the next phase to further enhance our market share on the cloud transformation curve, we plan to expand our capabilities and fully offer our platform and automation move, so which can able to increase our revenue share and also decrease in our S&M expenses. On the note, let me invite Ravi and Thyagarajan to go over various aspects of our performance.
Thank you, Suresh, and good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for all joining this earnings call. Growth for the year was broad-based across healthcare, life sciences, and ICT. In the life sciences space, clients are driving cloud digital transformation of clinical trials to reduce cycle time and to accelerate their drug discovery time, in addition to significantly reducing the cost. Significant investment in our technology platform have increased or enhanced our capabilities with respect to how we engage with our clients and deliver our solution. By leveraging our technology, we believe we can generate more efficiencies in our operating model while improving our ability to help our customer deliver better health outcome for their customers at a lower cost. Now, let me give you a sense of the kind of deals we are winning. We signed a multi-year blockchain deal on a SaaS-based American multinational pharmaceutical company. And, you know, after our investments in blockage, this is one of the significant wins that we are quite pleased about. And the next one is the major Georgia-based medical center signing up for a cloud support and disaster recovery. And this customer is going to be using our readable.ai to convert the document into electronic text. You remember in the last two, three calls ago, we talked about how the readable.ai is going to be used in the medical healthcare sector, with Monumental being one of our major customers. And currently, as we speak, we are looking at anywhere close to about 2.5 million document per year being scanned by the Monumental Health using our readable.ai platform. And we already signed a deal with Floyd for about 4.5 million document per year. And we are already talking to another major healthcare provider, and the deal size is likely to be anywhere between 2.5 to 3 million document per year. So gives you a sense of, the readable.ai's capability in terms of scalability. We are currently, with all that is in the pipeline, with all that is already signed and in the pipeline, we are looking at close to upwards of 10 million documents per year. And this is just 3 to 4 hospitals in the U.S. Given that U.S. has close to about 7,500 hospitals, it is not an underestimate to look at anywhere between 250 to 300 million documents to be scanned using a readable.ai per year. So we are very, very bullish about the readable.ai's capabilities and the way that we are positioning it in the market for, scanning the documents and then charging them by the document. And we believe there is a huge potential out there. With that, let me hand over to Tyaga for his comments on financials.
Thank you, Ravi. Good morning, everyone. We have navigated another tough year, right, in a very challenging environment. For financial year 22, our overall revenue was 379 crores. This was, 350 crores in financial year 21. So translate to 8% top line growth. Healthcare and life science business continues to outgrow. Healthcare and life science reported 266 crores of revenue compared to 249 crores in financial year 21. ICT revenue was 113 crores, which reported a growth of 12% year on year. One of the consistent objectives we've spoken about in the previous calls is, our focus on continuing to grow the recurring revenues. So over the last, I'm happy to share that over the last 5-6 quarters, we have inched our recurring revenue share from 30% to nearly 41% this quarter. And, it also kind of emphasizes the kind of deals that we are seeing in the pipeline. Most of the deals we are seeing are all customers with multi-year deals. Ravi briefly spoke about Readable. These deals are all 2-3 year deals with significant, uptake on readable documentation. In Q4, our revenues came in at 106.5 crores compared to 95 in Q3. Healthcare and life science increased 19 crores reported 81 crores compared to 61 crores in Q3. ICT revenue decreased by 8.4 crores. This is one-off revenue in Q3. The normalized revenue for Q4 was 25 crores compared to 33 crores. Gross margins in Q4 came in at 22% compared to 26% in Q3. Gross margins were impacted in Q4 mainly due to high on-site delivery costs in our healthcare business. As a management, we have identified certain critical tasks and taking steps to, move some of the delivery activities to India and reduce the dependence on on-site delivery costs. We believe that, our ideal delivery mix is going to be 60% of jobs delivered from US and 40% from India. We believe over the next 7 to 8 quarters, we can move the gross margins from the current early 20s to about 40%, right, with a significant share of margins coming from India. So one of the first steps we are doing is we have identified some tasks, given the jobs to the respective heads to manage the transition, and we will see the first actions coming in from Q2 of this year. Operating expenses for the year was 462 crores. This was high due to the doubling of R&D expenses. R&D this year came in at 50 crores. We've spoken earlier as well. A lot of the money was spent towards taking most of the platforms to the marketplace. and getting readable ready to take it to the market. R&D spends currently are at 13% of revenue. We have a plan to scale down our R&D significantly over the next 2 to 3 quarters. We believe that the right run rate for R&D from a dollar value perspective will be around 5 crores quarterly, approximately 4% of our revenues for the year. Our investment in S&M and GA doubled from 60 crores in FY21 to about 128 crores in FY22. OPEX for the year included one-time IPO-related expenses of about 16 crores and stock compensation of about 8 crores, which won't be there in FY23. During the year, we added about 250 employees, including some trainees in the in India. Most of them are graduate engineering trainees. As you know, our attrition is also quite high. We want to keep the curve moving and keep replacing some of the high-paying jobs with freshers. Put them on training for a solid 3 to 6 months period, and then put them on projects. So that is a strategy that we are adopting to get invest ahead of the curve and make sure that the resources are ready for getting deployed in the projects. During the year, we repaid the promoter loan of about 11 crores. Our overall debt position of the company is 91 crores. Right? With that, I would like to open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, Vasupal.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Aniket D. from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Good morning, team. Secure Cloud. I have a first question for Mr. Tyagarajan. Mr. Tyagarajan, good morning. Sir, you started your conversation with saying that it has been a challenging year for the company, but incidentally, for the other IT companies, it has been kind of the best year in probably the decade. Other Indian IT companies. So it was kind of a very different remark you started with. Sir, my first question is on the financials. Why is this other financial liability increased from 26 crores to 51 crores? What is that actually?
The other financial liability includes the contingent consideration, sir. If you recall, we did the acquisition of DevCool. It's got a upfront cash and deferred payouts. So that is about 17 crores in INR, right? So that is part of the other financial liability, sir. That's one large amount that is sitting there. And second is also some amount of salary payable in the US as of 31st of March, which got paid, I think, on 1st of April. So that is part of the other financial liability, sir.
So that means this is part of the DevCool acquisition cost, which has to be paid, correct? If I understand right.
That's what it's in consideration, sir. So depending on how, the DevCool management team deliver, they have signed up on some revenue targets. So depending on how they perform, the contingent consideration will be paid over the next 2 years, sir.
Okay. Sir, and second question was, which you kind of mentioned during your talk regarding the intangibles, the goodwill and intangibles increased from 30 crores to 66 crores and right of use asset, which is also part of that, increase from 50 lakhs to 5.5 crores. So this is the part which you mentioned about the platforms going onto the marketplace, and is that part of that?
No, sir. This is part of the DevCool acquisition. If you remember, DevCool, when we acquired the asset, there was a lot of this customer-related, intangibles, which is classified here. We don't capitalize any platform-related cost. All the platform-related cost is reported as R&D. So this is only the DevCool-related other items that are sitting in the other intangibles, sir.
So, and you plan to, monitor, write it off at a certain percentage over next few years or maybe few quarters.
Correct. Yes. So you know just for instance, the 28 crores that you mentioned about last year moving up to about 66 crores. The 40 crores net increase, 45 crores has come just from the goodwill DevSchool acquisition. So that is what is contributing it. Yes, as a policy, we've clearly stated it. We'll be writing it off over the period of time. And just to reiterate again, we don't capitalize any platform-related costs. That is what is shown in the P&L as R&D.
All right. Sir, and sir, I have a question which I asked in the last conference call as well. So this, so somehow it is very difficult to understand actually the P&L model, because the salary cost is so ballooning right now at 400 crores annual salary cost and 800 employees. So that comes to around 50 lakhs per employee, you know. So, sir, is it like sustainable or how it is going to be forward? Because it's not possible to model, you know, such high salary cost to, you know, come out with any profitability estimate going forward. And it does not look like reducing anytime soon. Neither is the revenue scaling up to such an extent that, you know, it can give some, you know, operating profit. So just not able to understand, sir, if you can throw some light on, you know, how, what is your projection going forward?
Okay, so let me address it in two ways. One is that, you know, you are right, from a run rate perspective, our salary cost looks like it is 400 crores. First and foremost is a lot of the delivery happens. For instance, you know, I briefly mentioned in the opening remarks, R&D last year was 50 crores, sir. So this year, you know, we have consciously taken efforts to scale it down. So if you look at the Q4 run rate only, would have come to about 9 crores R&D, right? So we think that, you know, see, our peak investments are all over in our platforms. So going forward, the R&D costs will go down. So if you ask me, between FY22 and FY23, we think there will be a reduction of about $3.5 to $4 million, best case, in R&D spends, right? We already identified some tasks that have to be performed from India. The results will start kicking in from July onwards. The full impact will come in September, but, you know, you will start seeing first set of results from July financials onwards, sir. That's point number one. Second is, you know, a lot of the delivery is performed in US, as I mentioned to you, right? So, you know, we had restrictions on various things, COVID impacted, right? So a lot of the delivery activities, it's a heavily on-site, you know, oriented model. So which is why, as an organization, we have taken, efforts to identify tasks that will be performed from Chennai, right, given the environment that we operate, and we have taken an internal target to change the delivery model from being what it is today to 60% delivery in US and 40% delivery in Chennai over the next, 7 to 8 quarters, right? Europe, these are things that, you know, will happen, but, you know, over a period of time, which is why we look at it, we've hired people in India, right? All the junior folks are talking about, you know, got freshers. We understand the challenge the market is facing, right? So we've got freshers, putting them on projects, getting them trained on the technology, right? All these will start showing results, but your point is noted that 400 crores run rate will eventually come down, one, by rejigging the delivery model, by, you know, making tasks, delivered out of the shared service in Chennai, and second is, you know, cut down on R&D. R&D spend is something that, you know, we've clearly articulated many times that, you know, it's a pedal that, you know, we were pressuring hard, and then now it's time to take the foot off the pedal. And that will alone, you know, bring down the overall cost, the labor run rate cost significantly.
So sorry, sir, I didn't understand. So if you are mentioning about the R&D cost, so R&D cost, R&D cost will be the platform development cost, if I'm not wrong, you know, some software which you will have proprietary development, all those may be the R&D cost. So R&D cost will be separate and the salary cost will be separate, right? Or are you putting those people working in R&D department or developing the softwares also in, you know, how do you bifurcate that? I'm not able to understand.
Let me clarify. Since you started with employee cost in the P&L, sir, the employee cost also includes salary paid to folks who are working on R&D projects, right? It is all in the P&L, right? As I mentioned earlier. So when in the presentation, you will see management reporting, which has the COGS COGS separately, R&D separately, and SG&A separately. All of that is a subset of the 100 crores quarterly run rate you spoke about. So R&D in the P&L, in the standard, the financials is sitting in the 100 crores, right? So R&D is also a lot of 1099 contractors in the US, which can be let go of in any time, right? So these are the contract work, and the R&D platform is ready now. So gradually, once the team in Chennai takes it over, you will see the reduction in on-site cost and getting replaced by offshore cost. So there is a...
How many, out of 800 employees, how many in Chennai and how many in US, geographical bifurcation?
We have around 500 employees in Chennai and 300 in the US, sir.
Okay, so that means already... So if you are saying that 60-40, that means 60% development work will happen in US and 40 in India, and you have this exactly reverse ratio of employees in Chennai and in US, so that means how do you...
So 60% of delivery need not mean 60% of people in Chennai, sir. So, you know, what will happen is so when I say 60% of delivery, it's from a cost perspective. Because some activities yet have to be performed. For instance, you know, if you go for a, you know, demo, face-to-face demo in US or you requirement gathering, etc., the activity has to be performed on-site at the client's location. That can't be performed remotely. But some tasks can be performed remotely. What we have done is that from an activity perspective, we have taken a initiative to move 40% of any job that is performed in a project to Chennai over a period of time. Right? Though necessarily doesn't mean 60% resources will be in US. 60-40 is a share of delivery that's delivered out of on-site location and offshore location.
Sir, and till when can we see some traction on that happening?
Okay, so I think I mentioned in my opening remark that R&D, which is a big chunk of the cost from 13% of revenues, what we saw last year, will come down to about 4-5% in the next year, sir. That itself is about 7-8%, so you can do the math, right? That's one. Second is the offshore on-site mix, you know, will see some action, you know, it could be anywhere. So currently our gross margins are 22%, and it's a stated objective is, you know, we will inch it up to about 30% in the next 12 to 15 months. Right, so that kind of speaks for itself, sir.
Okay, sir, actually, what you meant, coming to your guidance in the presentation, you mentioned gross margin of 30% and revenue growth of around 18% for next financial year. So, sir, it's pretty muted guidance for a small company of 400 crores because TCS, Infosys, HCL Tech also have guided for not 18% but 12 to 14% revenue, dollar revenue growth for next year. So, sir, and you have only given some guidance on the gross margin level. So, do we expect this kind of 100 crore loss next year as well, you know, this kind of huge loss? Because there's no guidance on profitability and at least does not look like any, you know. So, what is the steps taken to get some profitability back in the company?
Okay. So, brilliant question. So, let me answer it differently. So, you know, 18% is the top line growth. See, if you look at our mix of revenues, our recurring revenues is approximately 40%, 60% is non-recurring revenues. So, our stated objective is we get to a level of about 70% over the next 3 to 4 years, right? So, which means that we have to convert some of the contracts from, 1 year contracts into multi-year contracts, you know, add some managed support from Chennai, etc. Those are initiatives that will kick off over time. Right, that's point number one. Point number two is, you know, which is why, you know, 60% of revenue every year has to be sold. Right, I think we also mentioned, you know, we have a backlog of around, you know, $35 million or about 250 crores. Right, so these are multi-year contracts. Majority of them are recurring in nature. But, you know, our objective was, you know, we have to get to a stage where 80% of our revenue is already in the bag in the beginning of the year. So, I mean, you mentioned the example of, you know, Infosys and TCS. All of these guys have between 80-85% of the revenues in the bag already when begin the year. Whereas for us, it's about 40-50%, which is why, you know, there is a heavy dependence on selling every year, right? So, one stated objective is, you know, move the recurring revenue business from the current 40 to about 60-70% over the next 3 to 4 years. You know, second objective is, you know, move the gross margins from the current early 20s, 22% to about 30% this year and then eventually about 40% over the next 6 to 7 to 8 quarters, right? So, to give a guidance on the number, I think we mentioned about 450 crores on top line, which is 18% of 380. That, I think, is a number that we can deliver from where we see the business today, right? And, 30% gross margin, so that makes it about 135 crores of gross profits, right? And R&D, which is the current run rate of about 13%, will come down to about 4-5%, sir. So you can do the math there. So
15%,
not going to be a 100 crores loss, right? 100 crores loss, was, as I said, was largely contributed because of 3 or 4, this thing. R&D was 50 crores in that. So if you scale it down 50 crores from 50 to about half of that, that already pays, goes back into the P&L. Second is the one-time cost of IPO and, you know, the related ESOP related cost and all that is about 25-30 crores. So in the P&L, the 100 crores loss you're talking about is actually includes, you know, nearly 50 crores of cost, which is one time of 25 crores of IPO and ESOP related cost and additional R&D, which we kind of came to the call and mentioned that, you know, this year is going to spend money heavily on R&D. So R&D will come down, the one-time cost will not be there. So from a normalized basis, as the revenue grows from the 380 crores today to about 450, 460 crores next year, and the margins improve, that will start flowing into the P&L directly, sir. And from an overall SG&A perspective, we are going to be flat, right? From a run rate perspective, if anything, our SG&A will only go down going forward, right? So R&D will go down. So delivery is obviously project related. So we peaked out on investments in R&D, peaked out on SG&A, right? So any incremental gross profits you make will go directly into the EBITDA, sir.
So, sir, if I'm understanding 20%, you plan to go to 30%, which will not happen over next quarter at least. It will happen over 15 months, like you said. So, assuming like 3% incremental incremental margin addition, gross margin addition for one quarter, assuming. Okay. Now, assuming that R&D expense will go down by 5% for the year or maybe 1%. So it's like only 5% incremental profitability growth. Assuming other things like debt won't increase or there is no further acquisition or anything like that. So it's not much, right? So any other thing which we are looking at or any other?
Okay, so see R&D, I mentioned to you, sir, R&D from a dollar value perspective, 4-5% of revenue is a stated objective, which means that, you know, our R&D spends for this year is going to be perhaps half of what we spent last year. Right, that's point number one. So that 25 crores straight is going back, so the cash of 25 crores goes back into the P&L. That's point number one. Point number two is, you know, gross margins, the current 22%, we already started taking initiatives. So we are saying was for the impact of this in the year could be anywhere between 7-8%, which is a guidance that we are giving. So 8+5, 13% is 13-14% is already there in the P&L. Right? So all that we have to do is, you know, we have to go and execute it day in and day out. And the other two levers that I spoke about, where, you know, keep moving more clients into multi-year contracts so that, you know, revenue predictability increases and also sales and marketing cost goes down in years 2 and 3. So these are 3 or 4 initiatives which will clearly drive the operational performance, you know, to the levels that we anticipate next year delivery.
Okay. Sir, and one suggestion actually I had, so now you have so many acquisitions, so many different, different segments actually of businesses. So why don't you give a segment-wise results as in life sciences or healthcare and, you know, the other segments which you are operating in? Why don't we get some clarity on that? Because that will help us to understand like which business is doing better and some write-up or some guidance on each business, like, you know, the contract value as per each businesses, you know, something
yeah,
like that.
You know,
that
will be... if you notice the slide 9 of the presentation, sir, we've given the revenue mix by service line. This is something that, you know, we report in US for the last 2-3 quarters, but, you know, one investor like you mentioned in the last quarter that why don't you give this? Perhaps it was you, sir, I don't recall, right? So we gave the revenue mix, but, you know, going forward, we'll also give operational performance, you know, we can look at segmental reporting if required. That is something that can be done, sir. So we anyway do it for US reporting, we can replicate it in India as well.
Okay, good point. Thank you, sir. If there is any other question, I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Milind Trivedi from Secure Cloud. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon,
Trivedi,
sir.
Your line is...
Yeah, hello. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you are audible. Yeah. Yeah. So thank you for declaring the result and considering like one of the concerns that we raised. If you can declare the result early and not at the last day, I see there is a lot of improvement. So thank you for consideration and congratulations for the same. Okay. My question is, so now we have spending in making our platform services to be ready for SaaS. So how much percent is our platform ready to be a truly SaaS? That is first question. The Second question is, how much is the iteration for the current financial year?
Sir, I don't know if I heard the second question right, but I will let Ravi answer, Ravi or Suresh answer the first one. So I think the first question, if I remember right, was how much is your platform ready? Is that what you said, right?
Yes. Yes.
And what was the second question, sir?
Yes, second question is how much is the iteration, employee iteration in the current financial year?
Employee iteration is asking.
Employee attrition is 30%, sir. So this, 30% is attrition, sir. Let Ravi or Suresh answer the first question. Is how is our platform
ready? So the platform is fully ready. If you really look at it, our platform revenue is contributing, into more of a SaaS model now. Earlier, it was on a solution model. So we have declared about a 3% of our revenue, which is in the platform. And even our managed services are driven by platform mainly. Okay, so it is a 27% of the revenue. So it's combined with this about a 30% coming through platform, but split across managed services and platform. Going forward, our platform, we anticipate to increase, to at least to 12%-15% in our revenue on the platforms this coming year.
Okay. One more follow-up question on that. So any deal that we got, like generally, how much would be the customization we would be doing?
For platform, there is no customization except onboarding. So onboarding is like only, see like our data is there, cloud is nothing, just directly you can deploy right now, which is on the marketplace also, AWS and Google Marketplace. But if you need to integrate your data easy with your source system, that is a separate onboard. That will be we charge on a time and material basis with the customer.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Zaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. Most of my questions are answered, so I just wanted to clarify, it's just a small doubt. So our cost of sale that we put in our presentation, that's around 285 crores, that is pure employee cost, right?
No. Let me clarify that. That includes a lot of cloud consumption cost. So it is not directly employee cost, because that was the other guys from Centra were asking the people shifting. The 285 crores, inclusive of people and the cloud hosting charges for our customers.
So could you just give a brief, an estimation of how much cloud consumption cost would that be?
So at an overall spender level, it's about $2.5 to $3 million for the year, sir.
That would be included in cost of sales. And an R&D would be nearly everything is employees only, right?
The R&D is R&D predominant, 85% is an employee cost, and maybe around 15% is also on the cloud-related cost.
Yeah. I mean, I was about to say that, yes, R&D also has some cloud-related costs, because testing and all that has to be performed on the cloud, so there is also some cloud-related
costs. Even the whole development or everything is all on the cloud, right? All our applications are cloud-driven.
That answers my question. Thank you so much. All the best for the future.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. To the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Apurva Mehta, Agile Investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello.
Hi.
Yeah. My question is, what is the debt amount that has been repaid during the year, and what will be the bifurcation of the same?
Okay, so we repaid around 11 crores of debt, sir. If you look at the presentation, from an overall gross debt of 140 crores, we came down to about 107 crores. It has two components. One is a convertible note, which is the pre-IPO money that we raised from investors in HCTI. So that whole amount got converted into equity. And you know, we repaid a part of the promoter loan. About 11 crores of loan was repaid. So the current net debt position, gross debt is about 107 crores, sir, and net debt is about 91 crores.
So what will be the interest cost of debt?
So the annual interest cost is around 8 crores on the overall debt, sir. So
okay. Yeah, that is all from my side. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Aniket D. from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Suresh sir, my question is to you this time. Sir, I just want to ask you, what is the kind of questions or resistance which you get from investors when either in US or in India, as in when you talk to investors, what are the kind of questions or why are they hesitant to buy our stock actually? Any particular reasons they give? Or why are we not able to
In the US, we participated in, actually from since IPO, we participated in about four conferences. Two conferences were being on a Zoom calls, right? And the first physical conference happened in March in Florida, Miami, for a Wall Street conference. And last week, we participated in NobleCon conference. My interaction with the, we have not done any non-deal roadshow since our IPO. So the main interaction with the investors in the last two event, a lot of them like our story very much, but most of them have never heard about Healthcare Triangle in the past. So what we are doing is we are now working with multiple banks to cover our research coverage, because that will help them to understand the Healthcare Triangle business. So it improves the stock buy. And also the currently the market condition, unfortunately, the for the, see, since our IPO, we went in a little bad time, I would say. From there, the micro cap market got predominantly hit. And my and also the Russia Ukraine war, all of those things have fueled some kind of price hitting. It's not only our stock, most of the micro cap stock all got beaten. But however, the interesting thing is, because our banking contract with the previous investment bank finished on April 13, now about four or five banks are showing a keen interest to cover us, and also to work on, you know, in future at an appropriate time to raise further equity rise, you know, on the Healthcare Triangle, either through debt or convertible note or direct investment. So there are definitely a lot of interest in the company. And we have started the public PR IR activity. So we intend to participate at least next three, four conferences, because meeting an investor face-to-face gives a lot of comfort for them rather than a Zoom calls. So that all will help. So that's the summary.
Okay. So now if you see around, I think US market cap is now fallen to $30 million. So if I'm right. So, which is, I think, less than the revenue, annual revenue also. So maybe, you know, in the long term, it makes the stock very attractive in the US. So just was wondering as to what is the hesitancy of investors to actually buy a stock which is less than one time revenue also. Forget profitability.
So Ankit, it's a very, 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 very good question. So every investor or investment bank is telling the same story. We are underpriced, and our current run rate, we really look at around the Healthcare Triangle around $55 million. So people are really looking at, you know, we are at lower price and compared to the multiples. There is a real upscale is there. I think, I believe now any activity in the market is not really helping, because currently the whole market is getting beat up. Okay, it is not about, even the large company gets beaten, the smaller company got much beaten. So I think if the Russia-Ukraine war little stabilize on the interest rate and other stuff, you know, the it will drive very well. But as far as the company perspective, all we need is only a couple of key investors to come and take the stock, because our float is not very diluted. So if a couple of investors come, the stock will run by itself. So we are working on several mechanisms which I can't disclose in public forum. So we are taking the necessary steps, and you will see some kind of an activity. And also the four banks, which I talk, two of them are a leading size bank, which is a mid-market bank. And they are arranging non-deal roadshows and also research people to cover our stock. So we are having extensive series of conversation is happening. So all these things will see improvement. And probably I would not say that, you know, it's going to happen next month. It will take another 2 to 3, 4 months. You will see significant improvement in our stock. And there are a lot of big investors are looking at our stock. And everybody wanted to see at least 1 to 2 quarters before they jump into investment. So that's a summary, because in the U.S. we have only filed one annual return and the first quarter. And now the first quarter results are going to be only in May. So that's where it will start pulling in.
All right. So I was just wondering that suppose if in U.S. actually if we are able to make some cash from operations, so or net cash from operation or some free cash flow, because if the stock is so underpriced actually or undervalued, then if we have some cash from operation instead of any growth opportunity, we could look at a buyback or something like that, because that will really help to increase the EPS as well whenever it comes.
I totally understand, and that's what I said. The company is looking at various options, and I am in a quiet period in the US also because of my financial results, so I can't disclose the things in public. You will be able to hear the news at the due course of time. Various things have been taken care of, actually. I really appreciate your comments. This is really very genuine, and thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. If there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vastupal Chah for his closing comments.
Thank you, management of Picture Cloud Technologies and investors, for joining the conference call of the company. If you have any further queries, you can write us at vastupal@kirinadvisors.com. And once more, many thanks to everyone for joining the conference call.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all. Thank you, friends. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Kirin Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now make your lines. Thank you.